Hey, this is Craig Dillstrom Media.
This is DJ Kaya.
This is Elliot D'Souza.
Hey, this is Jason D'Souza from Aldona.
Hey, this is Nash Lobo from Aldona.
This is Pascal D'Souza from Kelly.
Hey, this is Rohit D. Almeida.
Hey, this is Roland Mascarenhas.
Hey, guys, this is Ron Montero from Localin.
Hi, this is Roy Fernandez from Donna Paula.
This is Ryan D'Souza from Cuba.
Hey, this is Steffi DeCruz.
Hey, this is Tony Nazareth, and you are listening to...
And you're listening to the GSL Podcast.
And you're listening to the GSL Podcast.
That's right, everybody. Welcome back to Season 3 of the GSL Podcast. Feels great to be recording this and talking to you all. Thanks for your continued support. We have now reached over 6,000 plays on the SoundCloud page. So really want to thank everyone for continuing to support the podcast and tuning in each week. This season, going to try and switch things up once again, institute new co-hosts, some new formats, and of course, more drops and more listener feedback and shout outs. So don't forget, send in your mail, send in your comments, send in your shout outs all to the GSL podcast at gmail.com. Was happy to see I got tons of messages and emails asking when the podcast would be out. The reason I always wait till after the first game of the season is because until then, we don't really have the official information on how many teams there are, what the schedule is going to be like, and how things are going to work. So it's hard to do a preseason podcast and a preview when you don't know the rosters and how many teams there are. So that's why we're back this week, but very happy to be back. We have a lot of news to talk about, so we'll jump into that first. Then we'll do a team-by-team preview, and then we'll jump into the recaps of last week's games. So without further ado, let's jump right into the news. First up, we have some very sad news as MOPSA has officially folded. The official word on the street is that they did not have enough players, especially after a number of players were taken by Margao, their parent club. I think what started a lot of these issues is last season, a few players were taken from MOPSA and moved to Margao mid-season. This was done because Margao had some injuries on their team. And what ended up happening, they handpicked some of the best players from MOPSA to move up. And this annoyed many, many players on MOPSA. In fact, one father of one of their players approached me saying, you know, on the podcast, I feel like MOPSA doesn't get a good rap. They never really get to express their opinion. And I said, listen, that's because no one ever comes on the show and they don't write in. And the one time a player did want to come on the show and express just, you know, basic stuff like how MOPSA works, what it's like playing with each other, how they know each other, they were actually banned from coming on the show and weren't allowed to express their opinion. So That's the nature of the game. If you're going to have a parent club and a smaller kind of feeder team, the expectations need to be set right away. What are the roles of each team? If the only goal is for Margao to have the best team possible and MOPSA is just a feeding club, I think that's fine. That actually kind of makes a lot of sense, especially from a development point of view and community point of view. You're going to get a lot of younger players that can come join MOPSA, get familiar with the league, get a lot of playing time, and then try and make it to the A team. In fact, we criticize people a lot for switching teams to join a better team, but then their playing time suffers. So I've always said, what would you prefer, 10 minutes on a team that goes all the way, or 90 minutes on the team that, you know, maybe makes it to the semis or loses in the quarters, but you play 90 minutes every game? So personally, I would take the playing time. I think you want to be involved on the field. You want to, you know, feel like you're contributing and getting a good exercise. It's a recreational league. You don't just want to sit on the bench. But to each their own. And I think the annoyance came from the fact that it's one thing if MOPSA is a feeder team to Margao, that's totally fine, but it shouldn't happen mid-season. It should be decided at the beginning of the season, have tryouts, determine your teams, and then give MOPSA a chance to make a name for themselves and these young guys. So very sad for the league that we're down to seven teams. It's also really annoying from a scheduling department. It means one team has to have a bye each week. If you look at the schedule for this year, they're our games on Tuesdays, Fridays, Sundays. It's all over the place. And that's due to there being seven teams, but also due to field restrictions, getting fields every Sunday and having enough time to play all the different games the league wanted to have. So luckily about midway through the season, it stabilizes and games return to just one game every Sunday. But very sad that MOPSA has folded. And hopefully maybe this will be a one-year hiatus. I know that lots of the young players are looking for a team. If you're a team that needs some youth injected in your team, definitely reach out to them. And it's really sad to see these young guys leaving the league. Next up, from a scheduling point of view, I already mentioned the fact that games will be on multiple days during the week, which obviously will make recapping the games a nightmare for me, but don't worry, I'll deal with that. We have just a quick announcement of the playoffs. Right now, the playoffs are scheduled for the quarterfinals on September 9th, the semifinals on September 16th, and the GSL finals on September 23rd. Now, I feel like this finals date may change. There were a couple dates that were given, and usually the finals is on a Saturday, whereas right now in the document I received, it's on a Sunday. So we'll look to get some clarification from the league on that. If any executives can reach out to me, I'd appreciate that. But I know there's a lot of listeners that are not able to attend a lot of the games and really always want to show up and support the team during the playoffs. So keep in mind, 3 weeks in September, most likely the 9th, the 16th, and 23rd are the dates you want to block off to make sure you're available for sure. All right, that's it for the news. Let's jump into some team-by-team analysis.
You have no idea what I'm capable of.
All right, so first up we have Aguada. I had the pleasure of speaking to Captain Corden DeMello, who unfortunately told me there's a number of players missing the majority of the year due to injury or other commitments. So let's run through them quickly and talk about the impact this can have. First off, we have Lester Fernandez with a fractured foot. Very sorry to hear of this injury. Lester is a great guy. I had him on the podcast last season. And what he does for them is he gives them a lot of versatility on the offensive end. Because they have Steven Fernandez as their out-and-out striker, Lester really gives a second option that drags defenders away from Steven and gives them a lot more space to operate in. In addition, when they need to play more conservative and can't go with two strikers, they can move Lester to the winger, and he provides pace and good passes into the box for their other players. So, really big loss for them. Their next one, Casey DeMello, central defensive midfielder. This is by far their biggest loss. One of the best players in the league, just a terrific athlete and very knowledgeable player. He'll be missing the majority of the season. That also goes for Ian Fernandez, also playing in the middle. Ian, it's too bad he's missing because I feel like he's a very talented player that really disappeared in the playoffs last year. And I mentioned during the finals recap of last season that Ian Fernandez did not have a good game. He had many chances to spring forwards loose and contribute on the offensive end, but he was leading to a lot of turnovers. Not his fault. I mean, sometimes you just have a bad game, and unfortunately that happened to him in the biggest game of the season. So I was hoping he'd have a bounce back year, but unfortunately it sounds like he'll be missing most of the season. Next we have Shane D'Souza. A lot of you might not know Shane. It's kind of like an undercover name, but he also slots into that defensive midfielder role. And although he's not flashy or the most talented, what he provides is stability. He's very disciplined on the ball, doesn't turn over the ball, wins a lot of tackles. And he's kind of a calming presence in their midfield that kind of is very communicative with their players and really helps drive them forward. So actually a significant loss for them there. Next up we have Danford Gomes, who underwent knee surgery. Very sorry to hear about this. Danford, another very dedicated GSL player. And he's one of those defenders where, once again, he's not very flashy or, you know, you wouldn't describe him as the most talented defender, but he's extremely athletic, extremely well-disciplined and in great shape. He's the type of defender that is running nonstop the entire game. He's one of the few players in the GSL that actually has the stamina to play 90 minutes at a high level and just has a straight shutdown defender on the right side. So I actually think this is going to be a very, very significant loss for them because Aguado relies on the defenders being solid at the back so their offensive-minded players can really push forward and really develop their offense. So unfortunately, missing Danford, I think, is going to be a much bigger deal for them. When I spoke to Croydon, he said, Aguada is a playoff team, and yet we are struggling for player commitment this year. All five players missing this year were in the starting 11 last year. So very sorry to hear about this lack of commitment, and I'm sure they'll have to navigate through it. Overall, my opinion, though, this is kind of a similar story for Aguada every year. They're a week-to-week team. You can never predict who's going to show up, how they're going to play. Yet at playoffs, everyone magically returns, and they go on this long playoff run all the way to the finals, win the championship, lose in the finals, you name it. But I see that this is becoming a very common occurrence with them, that during the regular season they'll have a mismatch of players, but once the playoffs roll around they'll have everyone back. The only thing I could see affecting them is not so much chemistry. They have such talented players, I think they can, you know, come back for a game and play at a high level. It's more their seeding during the regular season. Aguada used to always be, you know, near the top. But slowly they've been dropping kind of one place at a time over the years. So if they're missing a lot of players the entire regular season, my question is, will their seeding for the playoffs drop low enough that they'll have a much tougher quarterfinal matchup than they would normally have? I mean, if you want to be those top, you know, two or three seeds, you usually have a more favorable playoff matchup. Obviously, this year, the number one seed will have a bye to the semifinals, so that's huge. But I'm just wondering if that's going to affect them at all, their seeding. Their goals for the season is championship or bust. That's the way it always is going to be with the Guada. And that's a testament to them. This is a team that had zero championships. And us as Aldana always used to say, between us two rivals, who will get a championship first? And then you fast forward a number of years and they've won multiple titles and we still haven't won our first. So they've really taken off. But for them, I think they view each season now as you either win the championship or it's a wasted season. Moving on, we go to my team, Aldana. I spoke to Captain Jason D'Souza. As far as player transfers go, unfortunately, Calvin Rosario, one of our star strikers, has transferred to Bagmalo. Calvin was very gracious about this. Basically, what happened is Calvin was recruited to Aldana when Elton was on our team, Elton being one of the rocks of Bagmalo. But then Bagmalo came back to the league. Elton told us, you know, he's transferring back to them. We had no problems with that. And Calvin decided to stay with us for a year and try and go on a title run. Unfortunately, that ended last year in the semifinals. And all of Calvin's friends and contacts are on Bagmalo. So he actually approached us saying, listen, this is the deal. Elton wants me to come to Bagmalo. I'm very familiar with their team. I don't know how many years I have to play. And I would like to rejoin up with them. So he said, no problem. Thanks for letting us know. Wish you the best of luck. But it will be a huge loss for us. Luckily, we have a new group of players joining, including assistant captain Garrick Nazrin's brother, Shane. Shane plays on an academy team with a number of other players that have joined up with us. So this is very good. This is a group of new young recruits to inject some pace and energy into the team, as Aldana has traditionally done well in games, especially at the start. But then as the game goes on, we lose our stamina, we lose our focus, and we traditionally fade near the end of game. So having this new youth and stamina can really help us push forward for all 90 minutes. We also have another big transfer announced from Donna Paula. AJ Pacheco has joined our roster. He approached us saying he was looking for a new team, a new opportunity, and he was very interested in joining our team. He will slot in nicely at the center midfielder position, and he's a young player, talented player with lots of stamina. Once again, that's a key word when it comes to Aldana, because the best teams such as Lotulim, it's not so much that they're overpowering at the beginning. The issue is it becomes a constant onslaught of pressure, and by having a player in the middle with some stamina, ability to run around the field, it'll really help us out. We had to say goodbye to multiple veterans, including Gavin, Bevan, Nash. They're taking a year off due to other commitments. And unfortunately, Mark Pereira suffered a hip injury and may be out for the season. He will be reevaluated likely in July. So hoping he'll be able to return to us at some point this season as well. As far as the goal for Aldana, it's to build off the past few years. On a positive side, you know, I've been with the team for, I think, 12 years now. And we used to be a quarterfinal team. Every single year we would lose in the quarterfinals. We'd make it there, it doesn't matter what position, and we'd lose in the quarterfinals. Whereas recently, for the past 5 years, I'd say, every year we make it to the semifinals and lose. So for us, it's kind of a make the finals or bust year. We also don't want to regress. We don't want to lose earlier on. But we for sure want to make it back to the semis and then take that next step and actually make a final for the first time since 2007. Moving on, next up is Bagmalo. I spoke to Coach Sippy. He said they have some new player additions, Calvin Rosero from Aldana, we already spoke about, as well as Adam Sequeira, a promising youngster, making his first appearance in the GSL, so welcome to Adam. Players that have left are Cedric Fernandez, he left to join the Canadian Armed Forces, and Shannon Barreto, a veteran who played 6 seasons, all for Bagmalo, left the team to make personal commitments. Kyle Machado left due to personal commitments, and Kyle Nazareth has left due to personal commitments. So a lot of turnover at Bagmalo. Luckily, they have no injuries to report. As far as I'm concerned, Bagmalo need to look to progress on last season. I felt they had very poor results, but what I said is they were playing the right brand of football. And what I mean by that is they instituted a system in place, they have a good coaching staff, and they played a disciplined game, focusing on Elton to really be the playmaker. And although they were getting hammered in some games, they stuck to their style, and you could see some improvement over the year, especially with their last result of games near the end. They need to progress on this because if you're constantly playing in the same system and you're losing, it's fine at first for that first year, but now they're entering their second year since they came back. They really want to take that next step, start competing, start winning some games, and showing that the system that they're working so hard to implement is actually the right system and it's going to pay off in the long run. One thing that was brought up with me with Bagmalo is people are noticing a lot of new players on their roster. Some people have messaged me asking a question, their Goan ethnicity. The names they have brought up in particular that I was messaged about were Vijay Rayavarapu, Kian O'Neill, Gaurav Bhatt, Ankit Kurchokar. Although these aren't traditional Goan names, the league has a vetting policy whenever a new player joins the league. It's unclear exactly what the policy is. I know that if you're obviously, you know, someone's cousin or someone's relative that everyone knows about, it's not a big deal. But if you're a very new player that no one's heard of, usually they have checks and balances in place. And the kind of the message that was sent to these people is that the rule is if you play against a team that has a player you question, you can submit a formal petition to the GSL and they will investigate it. So that's kind of the way it works. The rule is to play in the league, you have to be Goan or you can be married into a Goan family. So those are the general rules. Some new names that I personally haven't seen before. I know for Vijay Rayavarapu, I assume it's his brother or relative, Naga Adrian, that was on the team last year for sure, because I remember it was a nightmare trying to pronounce his name every time he scored. So I challenged him to keep scoring. I promised him that I would learn his name, and he went on like a 3-game streak of scoring every game. So that was pretty funny to listen to. So going forward with Bangmalo, I think their goal should be to at least make the semifinals. I think that would be a huge accomplishment for them in their second year of the team returning, and I think that's a goal that they can work towards. Next up, we have Kolva. I spoke with their goalie, Ryan D'Souza. He said they have one new addition, Keenan Alvarez, and unfortunately out for the season with injuries, Aaron D'Souza and Marcellus D'Souza. Ryan mentions that although with injury, Aaron D'Souza will be joining the coaching staff. He's a young, talented guy who has abundance of soccer sense. So huge, huge loss for Kolva with Aaron D'Souza. Very young, promising midfielder. He's part of that triangle that I mentioned of Johnny Van Drien, Aaron D'Souza, and Garen D'Souza that I thought was going to take over the league. Luckily, Garen D'Souza is back this year after missing most of last season with a leg injury. He will be a huge factor for Kolva in that midfield. He's a workhorse. This guy does not stump running. It's like he gets pleasure out of making tackles and chasing you down. You can just tell it's what he wants to be there for. He wants to be that enforcer of the midfield. So that'll be a huge addition for Kolva this year, as in the midfield they were lacking last year. As far as I'm concerned, it's time for Kolva to show us, are they contenders or are they pretenders? This has been a constant thing with Kolva for the past few years. They've had some youth join them. They have a ton of talent. And I've always said Kolva is right now in that window where they have a really good mix of young players and older veteran experienced players. So I feel like this is their window to make a move. They really have to take advantage. So this is the season they're going to tell us. Contenders or pretenders, let us know what you think. Donna Paula and Margo did not provide reports for their team, so I'll discuss them later a little bit during the match recap section. But last but not least, we have Lotulin. I spoke to Keegan Moraes, and he said there are no new additions to report on the team and no players have left. And from my opinion, why would they? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I was a little bit sad. I hope that once Lotulin won a championship, the Bangmalo crew would leave and return to Bangmalo, kind of try and return home and win a title there. Kind of like a LeBron James winning with Miami and then going back to Cleveland to bring a title there. Unfortunately, this was not the case. And, you know, winning a title is great, but I feel like winning a title with your original team means so much more. Guada is a great example. They suffered for years and years and years, not even coming close to winning a championship, having an older roster. They revamped their team, they got more commitment, they got new talented players, and they won now multiple championships with the same group of people. So I think it means a little bit more when it's with your home team. Myself, obviously, I've had multiple opportunities to switch teams, especially when I was younger, but you know, when you grow up with a family team, when you love the people you're playing with, when it becomes a family atmosphere, it becomes more so you want to win one with the group of guys you played with rather than just win one in general. Who knows, maybe that'll change after 25 years if I haven't won a title, but for now I'm still happy where I am trying to fight with the Aldana guys. And when it comes to Lotulin, I think that because the players are sticking around even after winning a championship, I don't think they're going to return to Bangmalo. That doesn't sound like something's going to happen. So they're going to be a very strong team going forward. As far as their goals, it's you know, win a title or bust. They're just such a talented team. They're really going to be always the favorites to win the league and win the championship. The only thing I see getting in their way, once again, will be their defense and their goalie. They haven't strengthened these positions at all. They've traditionally been their positions of weakness. And this is the one thing that I feel like may be exploited by other teams, and teams will try and exploit. Their offense is still stacked. Their midfield is still stacked, and they have so many goal threats. That's the problem with them is, you know, you can say cover Ron, cover Neil, and then watch, you know, Nick Green. But then, you know, Keegan will pop up and score a goal. And you say, okay, watch him. And then Dane Don Mullen will pop up and score a goal. And you say, okay, watch him. Then you have Kyle in the midfield that'll push up and score a goal. They have so many threats. It's almost impossible to mark all their goal scorers at the same time. So for them, I'm interested to see, will they be able to have a perfect regular season again and go undefeated? Or will finally someone beat them and knock them off that perch? That concludes our team-by-team analysis. Feel free to email me. Let me know what you think. Do you agree with my predictions? Do you agree with where these teams are going and what they're trying to do? Or do you disagree? Do you think that the team should go in a different direction? Am I underestimating a team? Am I overestimating a team? Have I missed a huge addition or a big player that you think will be very impactful this season? Just email in thegslpodcast@gmail.com and let me know. All right, let's move on to some match recaps. First up, we have Bungmalo 3, Donna Paula 2. Goals from Donna Paula by Mitchell Nunez and Joshua D'Souza, and goals for Bungmalo from Elton Fernandez, Naga Adrian Rayavarapu, and Calvin Rosario. So obviously, it's the first game. It's a feel-out game. Reports say that Bungmalo scored first in the 15th minute, but they couldn't hold the lead as Donna Paula rallied back with two goals in rapid succession, and it was 2-1 at halftime. And before I get into the rest of the half, and obviously they ended up losing 3-2, that is huge for Donna Paula. This is not a team that was, you know, really fighting back in games, coming back from a deficit. So to be down 1-0 and then come back in the first game 2-1, that's a very, very positive thing for them. Sounds like experience played a big part in Bungmalo coming back. They have a lot of veterans on their team. Donna Paula did not capitalize on their opportunities to score again, and they conceded a goal to Bungmalo with only 7 minutes left, scored by their new recruit, Calvin Rosario. And as an alternate player that shipped him over there, that always obviously hurts a lot to hear. The game was tied 2-2. Bungmalo started mounting the pressure. They had the momentum with Adi scoring with only 3 minutes left to go for a 3-2 victory. So a thrilling first game of the season. Donna Paula is a very young side. They have some very promising players in their ranks. It's just going to come down to proper coaching, guidance, and development, and for them to really succeed. What I want to see from them going forward is, you know, it's a tough break for them. It's the first game of the season. They need to be competitive every game. Keep working, stay competitive. And one thing they also have to do is start taking advantage of their youth. And what I mean by that is they always say youth is a double-edged sword because you're in such great shape, you can run nonstop, but you don't have necessarily the game sense or the wisdom or the experience or the nuances of playing in the league. And people always say that they wish they had the stamina of when they're 20, but the knowledge of when they're 40. So if you're not going to be very experienced, if you're not going to be able to have that, you know, overall game plan and really be able to execute on the finer things in the game, you have to take advantage of youth in the sense that you have to run nonstop. You have to pressure the opposing team nonstop, really, really break them down. A veteran team like Bungmalo is extremely smart and extremely knowledgeable about the game, but they have very poor stamina. So they're the type of team, if you keep running them down to the ground, they're going to crack, they're going to break later on in the game. Might not work for the first 60 minutes, but it might work for the last 30 minutes. So that's what I mean by Donna Paula taking advantage of their youth, and I think it's something they need to do. Similar to Bungmalo, I feel like a semifinal finish for Donna Paula would represent a massive achievement. Even if it during the regular season they stay really competitive, get some wins and lose in the quarters, that would still be good. They just want to show progress from last year. You don't want to quit on games. You really want to stay competitive. For Bungmalo, this is a great result for them. Getting off to a win in the first game of the season, especially coming down 2-1 and then coming back to win 3-2 in the last 10 minutes. Moving on, we have Lotulam 3, Aguada 0 goals coming from Keegan Moraes, Kyle Coelho, and Nicholas Green. So as far as the report goes, Corden was telling me they lost 3-0 and they only had one sub for the game. But if they didn't have Andrew D'Souza in net, they would have gotten absolutely blown out. He made some huge saves, including one where he slid and dived across and his shin went right into the post. He's out next two games due to this leg injury, and he had to get stitches on his leg. So really showing his commitment to the team there and putting his body on the line, and hopefully he recovers quickly and is back soon. Once again, Matthew Pace, he was kind of the runner-up to the junior MVP last year, was a bright spot for Aguada. He's only 16 years old, but he's a huge game changer. He is going to be someone to watch. From a Lotulam point of view, they were wanted to take advantage of the fact that Aguada was missing Casey and Lester. They were controlling possession the whole game, but they couldn't get that final penetration, break the deadlock. until right before halftime, Aaron sending Nick Green through on a goal, and he calmly slotted the ball in the corner with the keeper rushing out. Great goal for Nick Green, especially to get off early in the season. He's a player that heavily relies on confidence. So if he's scoring goals, he's going to be very confident. He's going to keep scoring goals. If he's in a down slump or a cold streak, it'll get to him. His confidence will dip, and then his performance will dip. So he's a big confidence player, they call them. And so for him to get a good early goal, that's going to do wonders for him. And the second half of Guadi, you know, they only had one sub, so that kind of tiredness showed its ugly head. And Lotlin was dominating most of the possession at that point, leading to two more goals, as we said, from Keegan, and then later from Dane Tappan for him from Kyle. So as far as I'm concerned, this game result, typical Guada. They're missing players. You don't know who's going to show up. And early on in the season, they always have poor performances. They're just, you know, they're coming back. They have to get used to each other. They have to figure out their roster, figure out their positions. This is very typical. On the other side, typical Lotlum. They come back. They're extremely prepared. Take care of business. You just feel like they're a well-oiled machine that's ready to start right from the beginning. And I'm really wondering, can they have that perfect regular season again? Or will someone be able to stop them? Finally, we have our last game of the day, Margao 2, Aldena 2. This was a tough opening match for both teams having to face each other, and they're both looking to exert their dominance and finish at or near the top of the table this year. Aldena was short of players due to commitments or injury and thus had to work with only one sub. Margao, fresh from their acquisition of Mopsa, however, featured many young, energetic players, and this youthful approach paid dividends immediately. After a costly error by Aldena's defense, Margao was gifted a goal, which center midfielder Dwayne Lobo Perez easily slotted away past the keeper. Then, just before half, another costly error by the Aldena defense as an unnecessary slide tackle led to the correct call of a penalty shot. Dwayne calmly stepped up and buried the penalty shot, so two quick goals for him, and Margao was up 2-0 at the half. As the second half commenced, few people, including myself, would have given Aldena a chance to get back into this match. Not only were we undermanned, but we were traditionally never a team that is able to play from behind or recover from a loss. We're really a team that needs to keep it at 0-0, keep it a tie game, and then come on late with a last-minute goal or something like that. We're not a great team at, you know, building a lead and maintaining it or, you know, coming from behind. It makes you wonder how we finished second place last year, but I think it was because we got out to early leads and maintained those positions. And that's something we really want to work on this year, is fighting from behind or killing teams off when we have an advantage. This is where the new injection of youth really paid off. We kept pushing and fighting, and we managed to score two goals through Richard Fernandez and Todd D'Oliveira to tie up the game and steal a point away from Margao. So overall, this was a great result for us. I think Margao will look at it as 3 points they gave away, but not the end of the world, as it's only their first game of the season. It's going to be interesting to see where Margao goes this season. This is one of the perennial giants of the league. Remember, they're only a few years removed from having perfect seasons, going to the finals every year, winning multiple championships. Recently, I've said this many times, they've lost their fear factor, as well as many of their best players. But I want to hone in on what I mean by this fear factor. Sometimes a team, its reputation, does just as much as the players do. And for me, growing up in the league, starting at 16, Margao was the one team I hated playing against. I was feared playing against them. They were always so physical, so tough, and so talented that I always thought, you know, I don't care who we're playing in the league. We can beat any team on any day. The only one I think we'll always have trouble with is Margao. And because of their results the past few seasons, I feel like they've lost this fear factor. Now, maybe you could argue Lotlum has that going for them. But Margao's no longer looked at on that team as, oh, we're all dreading the day we play Margao. Now it's looked more as of a team where, you know, they're a very talented team, but they're also the team we want to beat. We're highly motivated to beat them every year. So we'll be interested to see how their new recruits from Mopsa gel in and where the team goes, because they have a very strong, deep roster now that they've merged both teams. And I think for them, they really need to make it to the finals for it to be a successful season. All right, that ends our match recaps. Hope you guys enjoyed it. This was a great first episode to be back. Enjoyed doing some team-by-team analysis. And as I said, once again, I really want to hear your opinions. I get a lot of feedback and I get a lot of messages asking for things to be stated on the podcast or shadows to be made. But I always want to hear your opinion. Sometimes you guys have great ideas and you have a different perspective on where you're coming from or where you see the league from. So feel free to message me about it. Everything can remain anonymous and it should be good. Every season I like to open and close with the exact same segment, and this season is no different. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy an open letter. Are you short on players? Are you looking for depth at the right winger position? Someone that can sing to the players to pick them up and lift their spirits. Someone whose core body temperature is naturally elevated, so when I say he's a great bench warmer, I really mean it. Look no further than Kyle Machado, who has recently left / was released by Bungmalo. Longtime admirer DJ Kaya, when asked about Machado's potential, said, "What you see with him is what you get. Don't pick him up if you're looking to develop him, or if you think he has potential, as he's perfectly content with where he is and how he plays." Now, although that sounds like exactly the opposite of what you'd want to hear when looking for a new recruit, give Kyle a shot. Send him an email at icoverfemalepopsongs@gmail.com.